Loomis Park Baptist Church. I appreciate Pastor Rich. I appreciate Brother Donald. And what some great singing by that college group this morning. Makes me want to go back to Bible college, but I am done with that. I have finished. I put in my time. Praise God. And I'm so thankful. I have a group of teenagers we took out to California a couple weeks ago. We flew out, visited a couple colleges in California. As we were on the airplane, my teenagers were telling them what they were going out there to do. And the stewardess came by and was asking each of them what they're going to major in. And each of the teenagers told them what they're praying about and what they'd like to major in someday. And then the stewardess came over to me and said, "And what are you going to major in?" And I said, "Thank you for the compliment, but I'm married and have two children, not in college anymore." But I appreciate working with teenagers. I have been a youth pastor, as Brother Rich said, for 5 years this summer. I can't believe it's been 5 years already. I feel like Brother Rich accomplished so much in his 5 years, and I'm just getting started. I'm just getting my feet on the ground, and it is just great serving God. We love our church. And I'm just happy to be here. This is my beautiful wife, Rachel, and we have two young boys in the nursery this morning, Jude and Jonah. And if you listen hard enough, you can probably still hear Jude crying over there, but he is 2.5 and he is full of energy. I'd like to share with you just something this morning. I'd like to talk to you from Hebrews chapter 3, but I'd like to talk to you a little bit about food this morning. I figured in Sunday school we could talk a little bit about food. If we talk about it in the main service, people's stomachs are going to start growling, but hopefully we could talk a little bit about this morning, and I could just share you a quick thought from God's Word. But I think it's interesting if you look at some of the companies that I'd like to talk to you about, I call it the secret ingredient of the Christian life. Now, the truth, it's not really a secret ingredient, Brother Petronico. It's not a secret. But I call it the secret ingredient of the Christian life. When I think of a secret ingredient, I can't help but think about Coca-Cola. Coke begins with a man named John Pemberton, a veteran from Georgia, who emerged from the Civil War with the morphine addiction. Hoping to cure for his ailment, he dreamed up his French wine coca that he included cola, nut, and coca wine. By 1886, as Atlanta passed prohibition legislation, he reformulated the drink without alcohol and renamed it Coca-Cola and began selling it in Georgia pharmacies. Asa Chandler, an early president of the company, bought the formula in 1887. He was worried that rivals would obtain the recipe, so he insisted that no one ever write it down again. They removed all the labels from the ingredient containers and identified them by sight and smell only. He even went through the company mail so he could shred invoices that employees might attempt to sell to drink makers. There's companies like Pepsi that have tried to have the general ingredients of their own, but nobody has unlocked the 7X flavoring that gives Coke its unique taste and the bubbly burn that comes with it. The company has always said, the president said, as far as he knows, only two people at one time know how to make that, to mix the 7X flavoring ingredient. And he said those people never travel on the same plane in case the plane crashes. And they have that kept in a secret bank vault. So I think it's kind of interesting. Coca-Cola, the secret recipe. Well, I think about Coke, I can't help but think about KFC. I'm a big fan of Kentucky Fried Chicken, and there's a secret recipe of 11 herbs and spices that they use. Portions of that recipe are made at different locations in the United States, and the only complete recipe is kept in a vault in corporate headquarters. In 08, it was moved to an undisclosed location, but they had the recipe, and it is actually signed on a single sheet of notebook paper by Mr., or as you may know, Colonel Sanders. And I'd love to see that secret ingredient, but they have that kept in a vault, and they try to keep anybody from figuring that out. And then the last one I can't help but think about is Bush's Baked Beans. If you've ever seen the commercials, they have the secret family formula, and they have the little dog Duke that's always trying to give out the formula. You know what I'm talking about, right? He's trying to give out the secret family formula, and they won't tell you what it is, but that is their secret formula that makes Bush's Baked Beans so good. Something interesting I found out about that is that the dog Duke that's in the commercials isn't actually the real dog. It's a double. So the real dog somewhere, if you could find him, he might try to give you the real secret. But I would like to share with you something I think is a secret ingredient of the Christian life. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Bible says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil spirit, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Verse number 13, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Whilst it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some when they had heard did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. I believe the secret of Christian life, it's not reading your Bible. There is nothing secret about reading your Bible. That is just a given. That's something that just goes along. If you're a Christian, you need to read your Bible. Amen, church? If you're a Christian, you need to read your Bible. I don't believe it's prayer. It's not something that should be a secret to Christians or some ingredient that is maybe unknown. You need to pray. If you're a Christian, you need to pray. The Bible says men ought always to pray. The secret ingredient, I don't believe, is going to church. You need to go to church. If you're a Christian, you're a child of God, you need to be in church. I told the story yesterday at the youth rally that my pastor tells people whenever I go back to visit or if he comes and visits me, he tells people as a young child I had a drug problem. I was saved at the age of 3, so you can imagine I obviously didn't get into too much before I got saved. I wasn't part of any tricycle gang or any local disturbance. But he tells the story of the drug problem I had. He said, when I was a little child, my parents would drag me to Sunday school. And then they would drag me to the main service. And they would drag me to Sunday night. And they dragged me Wednesday night also. I was just born and raised in church. I was not literally in the auditorium, but I was born going to church. To me, when it's Sunday morning, you're in church. When it's Sunday night, you go to church. When it's Wednesday night, you go to church. When there's special activities, you go to church. That's just part of the Christian life. You just go to church. So I don't believe that's the secret ingredient. I don't believe the secret ingredient is getting baptized or going soul winning or being obedient. Or even tithing. I don't think these are the secret ingredients of the Christian life. I don't believe that the secret ingredient is the big days. You know, I honestly, most of my Christian life, I used to grow up thinking that the Christian life was all about the big events, the mountains, the great victories, and especially as a teenager and working with teenagers, we have camps, conferences, rallies, great things happen like yesterday, Brother Donald, and all the decisions made. But can I tell you, that's not really the key ingredient to the Christian life, because those only happen every once in a while. And those are great things, but I don't believe that that is the key to the Christian life. I believe the key, the secret ingredient, if you want to call it, to the Christian life is found here several times in this chapter. It says, today. I believe the key ingredient to the Christian life is found daily, every day. Every day, day after day after day after day, that is the Christian life. Hey, listen up. The Christian life is not a Sunday only thing. It's not something that you can come to church once a week and put on your church face and your church clothes and hey, brother, how are you? And then go back and live life the rest of the week like you want to. The Christian life is a daily thing. Every day you're living, you're walking with God, you're trying to do right, you're spending time with Him. It is daily. So I believe the key ingredient to the Christian life is daily. Let me just give you a couple points and we'll be done. Please turn over to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. The Bible says in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross every other week and follow me. Oh, I'm sorry. That doesn't say that. Let him deny himself and take up his cross once a month and follow me. Oh, that's not what it says. Oh, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. Daily, every day. So I believe, number one, that we need to die to self daily. Number one, the Bible says you need to take up your cross daily. It's a daily occurrence, a daily process where we put ourselves out of the way, our desires, our will, our dreams, our emotions, and put God first. It is a daily occurrence. I heard the great Lester Olof, what he used to do every morning, he would take an ice cold shower. Just to show his flesh that his flesh wasn't going to have its way that day. And I've never tried that. I don't know if that's something you'd like to try. That doesn't sound very fun to me. But that's a great way of just getting up and saying, you know what? I'm not going to let my flesh have what it wants today. I'm not going to sleep in or do something that's comfortable, but I'm going to get out of the way and die to self. It has to be a daily occurrence. Every day we die to self. Every day we put what we want behind us and put what God wants before us every single day. You don't need to turn there, but 1 Corinthians 15:31 says, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Every day we need to just die to ourselves. Whatever you want, we need to die to ourselves. The things that you're planning on doing, your schedule, we need to die to self and let God have His will every single day. Number two, back to Matthew chapter 6, please. Over to Matthew chapter 6. Verse number 10, Matthew chapter 6, the Bible says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Our daily bread. Number two, we need to do our devotions every day, or have your daily bread every day. I love talking about food. I love food. I'm a big fan of food, and I can't imagine only eating every couple days. I can't imagine. Could you imagine if, Brother Pachanico, could you imagine if we only ate on Sundays? The only day you had a meal? I can't imagine. I mean, if you've gone a day without eating, if you fast for a day, I mean, that's a big deal. And you can't help but think every couple hours, oh boy, am I hungry. And then you're sitting quiet at a meeting or somewhere and your stomach starts growling. You know what I'm talking about. You're hungry. Could you imagine if we did that to ourselves? No. Why? Because we're hungry. We need to eat. As a Christian, we need to eat as well. It shouldn't be something where you're only getting God's word once a week. It shouldn't be something where you're waiting to only hear preaching or whatever it is to hear God's word. It should be every single day you're eating, you're getting God's word, you're getting it for yourself. You need to eat. And I think it's a great thought comparing it to food, because could you imagine if we only ate once a day? Maybe some of you do that. You only have one meal a day. Well, praise God. That's great. I'm a big fan of the Taco Bell fourth meal. Amen. Late at night, I'm still hungry. I like to go get another meal to eat. Give us this day our daily bread. We need to eat. And as a Christian, you need to have your devotions. It needs to be a daily occurrence. Psalm 88 verse 9 says, "My eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Daily I call unto you, Lord." I think there's a phrase found, I know that there's a phrase found in the Bible 34 times, and it's such a great thought, but to me, it's one of the most convicting phrases in the Bible. 34 times you can find the phrase, early in the morning. Early in the morning. I don't like that. Brother Donald, I wish I wasn't in the Bible that early in the morning, because I wish it were later in the morning, or early in the evening. But I believe in the Bible, early in the morning, and we know in Psalms, early will I seek thee. It's important to get with God daily, spend that time. And I think the Bible says, early will I seek thee. A great time to do that is in the morning before you begin your day. So we understand that the Christian life is a daily process. We need to die to self daily. Number two, daily do our devotions. But number three, I won't have you turn there, but yesterday at the youth rally, we talked in Psalm 37, verse 4, about delight thyself also in the Lord, and He will give thee the desires of thine heart. Number three, we need to daily give God our desires. It's a daily process. If we give God our desires every once in a while or every couple of weeks, I don't know how that would, it wouldn't go too well. Because every once in a while we'd do right, and every once in a while you'd please God, and then the other days you wouldn't. But it needs to be a daily process. Every day, Lord, whatever you want, I'll do. I'm putting myself aside. I'm putting my will, the things that I want, the things that are important to me, I'm putting those behind me. Because God, I want what you want. That's what's most important. What are your desires? What are the things that are important to you? It needs to be a daily process. A daily process that we give those things over to God. We'll let Him have those. Number four, I believe we need to daily make good decisions. Daily. You know, we don't wait to make good decisions every once in a while. We don't wait to make good decisions only on important. It's the little decisions that really will determine your future. The little ones. And just daily praying to God, help me to make good decisions today. Whatever it is, what time I wake up, how I spend my time, how I speak to people, what I do with my day. Every day we need to make the right kind of decisions. The decisions that we're making, the choices that we make. I love the book of Proverbs, and I'd encourage you to read the book of Proverbs and keep reading it. There's so much wisdom in there. Wisdom in how to make the best decision. And I think the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the main thing. In our lives, it all goes back to wisdom. It all goes back to what kind of decisions are you making. Everything that we do is a result of wisdom. As a result of, is this, am I thinking about what I am doing, or am I just doing this without thinking? I'm the kind of person that too often I tend to put my foot in my mouth because I don't think about what I say before I say it, or I'll think or do something without really thinking it through. And praise God, the Lord has given me a wife who is slow to speak and a wife who is wise, and I'm constantly learning from her. She thinks before she speaks, and I need to learn to do that as well. But we need to really daily make the right decisions. And I think that's in one place where we might struggle so often as a Christian, that it's not just on the big days, but it's every day. And I hope you're getting that main thought this morning, that it's a daily process. I think one of the greatest times of the Christian life is not just the camps or the conferences, but it's Monday mornings. When the week is started, when it's early, most of the world hates Monday mornings, and Monday mornings are a great time. If you can get alone with God and start your day out, it really changes the entire week. And that is a great way to, I believe, start the week outright, to do things daily. So daily we need to make decisions. Number five, we need to daily just do right. Daily do right. Could you imagine if we only did right on Sundays? If Sunday was the only day of the week that we were obedient to God's word, and could you imagine if we drank alcohol every day of the week except for Sundays? What kind of Christians would we be? If we smoked every day except for Sundays, or we didn't swear every day except for Sunday? No, it's every day. Every day in your life, do right. And this is something I really struggled with as a teenager, because I'd go to these camps and I'd make decisions. I'd get right with God, and then I would make a really bold decision, like, I am never going to do this again. And that's a good decision, but never is a long time. How about every day make a decision, Lord, today I'm going to do the right thing. The next day, today I'm going to do the right thing. The next day, today I'm going to do the right thing. And if you see, it's a daily process. Every day telling the Lord, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do my best to just daily do the right thing. We are faced with so many decisions and faced with so many obstacles. And I love what Jesus says. He says, each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about the next day. Let's just take every day, one day at a time, and just daily do right. I like condensing things. I'm a very simple person, probably too simple sometimes. But I remember when I was in school, if I had to study and I had 20 pages from a book, that was a lot for me to have to study. I remember just thinking, man, that's a lot of stuff. What I would do, I would take all that and put it on a study guide. And I'd have one or two, maybe three or four typed pages. And that was everything I needed for the test. And to me, that's a lot more manageable. If you have a 20 pages of a book, that's a lot to study and that's a lot to go through and try to memorize. But two or three pages, I can do that. You can do that. And I think with our Christian lives, we try to take on these obstacles that yes, down the road, if you make a decision every day not to do something, down the road you'll look back and you did go that long without doing it. But it's a daily process. Daily saying, Lord, I'm going to give myself to you. I'm going to die to self. I'm going to do my devotions. I'm going to make good decisions. I'm going to give you my desires, and I'm going to do right today. And then lastly, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Oh, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And look at verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. These are probably two of my favorite verses in the Bible. I think if you can take these verses and memorize them and claim that, it will be such a help to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Have you ever thought through those verses? I take pleasure. Do we really take pleasure in reproaches? I mean, honestly, do we really? Something bad comes. Oh, I am so thankful. This is great. I can't wait. I'm so glad. Yesterday, my car wouldn't start. The first thing going through my mind wasn't, yes, I am so glad my car didn't start. That's not our natural reaction. I take pleasure in necessities. That when we have a great need in our life, is that a pleasure to us? and persecutions. Nobody likes being persecuted. That's not fun. I take pleasure in those things, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And I think it's important to realize, lastly this morning, daily we need to depend upon God. And this is something that I am just learning now, and I feel guilty that it's kind of taken me this long to learn, but it's a daily dependence upon the Lord. Folks, we don't need to depend on God every once in a while when things are really tough. It's a constant dependence upon Him. I found personally that when it's time to preach, I can really pray and sometimes really get God's power and preach, and God will use it. And then it would seem like for me, that same sermon would be something the next day that I would struggle with. You know, I'd preach on your walk with God, and then the next day something would happen and whatever, and I didn't spend time with God that morning. And I struggled with that. And I thought, well, hey, I can preach a sermon and God can use it, but my daily life I'm struggling with. And I realize it's a constant dependence upon God. You need God when things are good, we need God. When things are bad, we need God. When things are just okay, we need to depend on Him. It shouldn't just be whenever things are really tough and you're out of money or you failed a test or you're sick or there's some need that's when we're getting a hold of God. No, it should be a daily occurrence that everything you do, you're depending on Him. And then I started realizing that if I depend on God every day, I can stay faithful to those decisions. I can stay true to my walk with God and my time with God because it's a daily thing. It's not something that I do every once in a while, or it's not something that's just when I preach or just when God's using me to teach a class or something, but it's a constant dependence upon Him because we don't know what the future is. We don't know what circumstances are. We don't know how the day is going to unfold. And if we try to do it in our own strength, the Bible says we will fail. For without me, you can do nothing, the Word of God says. We need to constantly depend on Him. And I like these verses because they illustrate a great truth. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And I think what we need to realize is that in our own strength, we can't do it. In your own strength, you cannot have a victorious Christian life. In your own strength, you can never lead somebody else to Christ. In your own strength, you can never be a good husband, a good wife, a good father, a good mother. In your own strength, you cannot. But we second need to realize that God can. There is nothing too hard for God. There is nothing impossible for God. And the Bible says, with faith as small as a mustard seed, we can move mountains. So we need to realize that we can't, God can, but I think where Philippians 4:13 comes together is through Him, now I can. Does that make sense? I can't, He can, but through Him, I can. And I don't know what struggle, I don't know what battle, I don't know what you're going through this morning, but I'm sure every person has some difficulties they're facing. With God's help, I can. But I need to depend upon Him. I can't do it in my own strength. I can't do it on my own. And when we depend on ourselves, we're going to fail every single time. But you learn to depend on God. You learn to put Him first. You learn to trust in Him. And He'll help you get through those difficulties. He'll help you get through those struggles and those frustrations because you're constantly depending upon Him. I believe the key ingredient to the Christian life, just like Coca-Cola, KFC, Bush's Baked Beans have their secret ingredients, I believe the key ingredient, and I know it's no secret, it's not a secret, but I know the key ingredient to the Christian life is daily. It's every day. It's not just today on Sunday. It's not just yesterday at a youth rally. It's not when things are good, but it's every day. Tomorrow morning should be just as good as today. Tomorrow morning, you should be just as close with God. You should actually be closer to God tomorrow than you were today. The next day should be the same, and it's a daily dependence. And when you learn to every day depend upon God, every day to do right, every day to make good decisions, every day to die to self, every day to give you to have good devotions, every day to give God your desires, you'll see that that's the Christian life. It's not just the mountains, it's not the valleys, it's not when circumstances, because circumstances change. Some days things are really good, some days things are really bad, but God never changes. God is immutable, He doesn't change. Every day, just daily doing the right thing, daily depending upon God, I really believe that is the key, I believe that's the focus, and I believe that's the secret to the Christian life. Let's pray.